Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, folks. Just a reminder, as we begin to experience some melt and the possibility of some roadways being opened, you can go to 511.la.org for an update on that, or you can also go to virtual.la.gov for some additional information. And in Jefferson Parish, a direct line to the Jefferson Parish EOC, should you need them, is 504-349-5360. We are joined now by Kelly Schultz, Senior VP Communications and PR at New Orleans and Company. Kelly, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Newell. Good afternoon.
So, same to you, Kelly. So, Kelly, we have been discussing all morning long the breadth and depth of the impact of an event like this, and obviously, you guys have one of your bigger conventions, I think, starting tomorrow, NADA, National Automobile Dealers Association. I know there were a lot of folks in town as well. We actually talked to some last evening. And a lot of people don't think about all of these pieces and parts that kind of fit together, right?
That's exactly right. You know, we are hosting this week the National Association of Automobile Dealers. It's a convention that has been coming to our city since 1973, and this will be the 11th time they're bringing this meeting of automobile dealers to the city. So it's a pretty prominent event and a big deal and a long-term customer. So obviously we've been working with them as it relates to this winter storm. They have are monitoring the conditions at the airport and the situation with the airlines. The event is scheduled to officially kick off tomorrow. So they're just sort of monitoring the airport situations that their folks can get here safely. But, you know, Newell, like everything else, I mean, we really pride ourselves in taking good care of our customers. And that is, you know, sharing information, making accommodations where we need to, really stepping up as a community. And if we do have an unexpected or such a rare event like this, to say, what can we do to be most helpful and take care of the guests that are coming to our city?
Yeah, and that requires everybody, right, to kind of think outside of themselves and be more accommodating to these folks that come in. Is there space on the back end to kind of move things back a little bit or no?
Well, I don't want to speak for the client about their schedule or anything like that, but I can tell you that, you know, a meeting of this size, New Orleans is one of the few cities that can even host something like this.
Yeah.
They are going to be taking up every square inch of the convention center, which is over 1 million square feet. NADA utilizes the entire building. They're also going to be present at multiple hotels. It's 22,000 people. So they will be present, you know, around the community. And it does take quite a bit of setup. They have a very large exhibition. Many of those exhibition booths are set up by local members of the hospitality community. Conventions this large also require audiovisual support and a lot of, you know, businesses that maybe a leisure traveler would not require. So We've worked with this organization for years and years, but as it relates to the weather, we've been working with them since last Friday to know that the storm was coming in and whatever changes we needed to make to get people in earlier or to set up things earlier for our locals who would not maybe be able to drive. All of those accommodations are being made, and we just want to make sure that, you know, we're working in partnership with the client as we always do.
Kelly, we had an occasion to speak with Michael Heck earlier. He said he had had some communications with Louis Armstrong International Airport. I assume that you guys have been in constant communication with them, and I also assume that this thing probably changes by the hour, right?
That's right. In fact, I was part of a call earlier today that the mayor's team leads, and she brings together all different community groups, and that does include New Orleans and Company, and it does include the airport. So that was an opportunity for the director, aviation director Dolio of the airport this morning to share what was happening. And it's really, in terms of flight changes, those changes are determined by the airlines themselves, not the airport. So, yes, whether it is the airport or the restaurants or the hotels or the convention center, we're in close communication with all of those partners and making sure that we're adapting as we need to.
Is there anything that you can share with us about the status at the airport?
Well, as of this morning, they said that many of the airlines had canceled their flights for today, for Wednesday. But I know they're posting the latest updates on their website, which is flymsy.com. And then we are updating the neworleans.com with the latest information that we're getting as well. So anytime there's any sort of event, whether it's a storm or anything going on in the city, New Orleans and Company wants to be sort of a hub for information, not only for visitors or conventions coming in, but for the many, many people who live and work here and make their living in the hospitality community. So we have a pretty good model of sharing updates with our community as it relates to visitors and events, and we've been following that model most of this week as we've dealt with the storm.
Kelly, I know part of the issue belongs to the airlines. Part of it belongs to the airport folks. Do we know whether or not they've taken the remedial measures necessary to have the runways actually dealt with and ready to go?
I don't want to speak to that. I'm not sure. I'd have to refer you to the airport. I don't want to speak out of turn there. So
yeah, I didn't know if Kevin shared any of that information with y'all.
Yeah. I don't know, but I know that the airlines were, they had canceled their flights yesterday. And we're looking at when or if they could resume today. And I think they did make the decision to not resume today either. So,
Yeah, I mean, part of the issue that we have, I mean, we hadn't had an event like this since, what, 1895 or something? Yeah, 1895. We don't have de-icing equipment.
It's definitely historic. Yeah, it's definitely historic.
And I'm not sure that we even, if we had all the equipment, if we, you know, it would be used so infrequently that we may not even be trained on it. So, you know,
exactly. I'll tell you, Newell, we've had so many things, you know, thrown our way over the years. And I think, you know, our entire community and certainly the leadership, you know, of our city and the business community and is pretty battle tested. We've been through a lot of different situations, and while this was a, you know, certainly a historic snowfall for our area, you know, some of the lessons that we've learned in previous storms or other, you know, crisis communications, as we would say, we learn every time, and we always try and get better and adapt and learn from the past, but I will say that we do this pretty well. We're pretty resilient, we're pretty adaptable. We certainly know how to take care of our customers and guests, and we say that we're built to host, and that includes hosting when you have curveballs thrown your way, as we have this week.
When you talk about battle-tested, obviously you have NADA right here, and then on the heels of that, where the front door, the entrance to the Super Bowl, you know, because that's really a one-week event, not a one-day event.
That is exactly right. You know, in fact, there are representatives from the NFL in town now who have been setting up and have already been doing a lot of the interior work at the Caesars Superdome in preparation for the game. And I know people have probably seen, if they've been downtown, they've seen a lot of the buildings being wrapped with different, you know, advertisements or branded messages from some of the big corporate sponsors. So, yeah, Super Bowl, again, is something that we've been preparing for years. It is much more than the game itself. It's an entire week of activations and events, and many big brands and corporations have parties or you know, different launch events. And for us, it's a great opportunity to showcase the city and let them know that we're built to host. And again, there's a reason we've done the Super Bowl for 11. This will be our 11th time. No other city has done that aside from Miami. So when you talk to folks about the Super Bowl, one of the things they say why they love New Orleans, of course, is our hospitality. Of course, our ability to host complex events. But they talk about how walkable the city is for a Super Bowl. If you go to some other cities, you may have to take a shuttle and go to an arena outside in the suburbs. And you may be in a shuttle for 45 minutes or an hour. But in New Orleans, they love everything is so compact. You know, the convention center where the NFL experience takes place, the Caesars Superdome, the hotels, the French Quarter, the restaurants, all of that is within a 2-mile area. And that is something that is really attractive to, you know, the folks who organize these events and also for the fans and visitors.
When we visited with Michael Heck earlier today, he said that things seem to still be on track. You know, they had a little space for delays, and obviously it looks like most, if not all, of what they set out to do is going to be handled, which is a good thing.
As far as I know, that's correct, yes. I mean, the NFL is such a well-oiled machine. Of course, you have Jay Cicero and his team at the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation, Marcus Brown with Entergy, and a very talented, broad group of professionals who make up our host committee. And so, yes, I think that, you know, when things like this come up, we get together and we adapt and move forward. And I know that we're going to have a fantastic Super Bowl week.
You know, I was driving in this morning, and I was driving in front of the Marriott, and they had their crews out there that had already cleared the ice off of the sidewalk in front of the hotel. And it occurred to me, I don't know why, I said, man, thank God this storm did not hit during Super Bowl week. It was like, you know, I don't know why that thought popped in my head. You know,
yeah, no, we've heard that from a few other folks too. You're not the only one to have that thought. And you know, I mean, this is just so historic and unprecedented. I mean, who would have imagined? And, you know, I know they're looking at the records going back to 1895. I don't even know if there's ever been a storm that has rivaled this one. But again, like the folks in front of the Marriott who are clearing the ice, I mean, they want their employees and the visitors to be safe. And that's all we can do in a situation like this, is to communicate and share information and do what we can to take care of our guests. But also knowing that you can't host a Super Bowl or a National Automobile Dealers Association convention without our local residents and the those of us who work in hospitality and who set everything up. And it is a massive effort, and we want to make sure that those things can move forward, but do so in a way that's safe and no one is, you know, getting injured because of the snowfall and the ice on the ground today.
Kelly, Tommy Tucker and I were talking last night as we were broadcasting that, from my perspective, it seemed as though the city, all the surrounding parishes and their government, you know, their infrastructure, everybody seemed to hit the mark with this one. You know, even down to the weather people with the predictions, the response, setting up the barricades, road closures, communication. Today we're seeing snow plows, getting pictures of snow plows in the streets of New Orleans, streets of Jefferson Parish. It's kind of a proud moment, and it's a great moment, I think, in the lead-up and the lead-in to not only NADA but the Super Bowl.
Exactly. I totally agree with you. You know, it's been, you know, from my view, even as a citizen, not even someone that's involved in crisis communications for the tourism industry. We, as a citizen, I feel that way too, that the NOPD was very proactive in closing down roads. And I know you all at WWL have been going nonstop with reporting. I think the local media has done a good job getting the situation out there, and that our community has followed the guidance of the experts. And this is something that I think we do really well. And we are certainly battle tested with different types of situations, whether that's a storm or the pandemic. And, you know, we're talking about Super Bowl, Mardi Gras. We, of course, had the tragedy in our city on New Year's Day. And, you know, coming up, we're going to have an opportunity to reflect on what's happened in our city in the 20 years since Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah.
That's also on the radar. And I think that'll be an opportunity to talk about our resilience and our strength and how we come together, especially in difficult times, and just how far the city has grown in the 20 years since Katrina, because we're hard to believe we're already looking at that as well for August.
You know, there's some days, I don't know if you have this experience, and, you know, maybe I'm crazy. It's all a blur. You know, you know what I mean? I mean, just now when we talked about the tragic occurrence on Bourbon Street, it just, I don't even know what day of the week it is this week, but things seem to be moving so fast, so quick, and so many big events here. I mean, it's just like it seems to be a blur.
Well, you are not crazy. I think a lot of people share that feeling. And you know, again, with the New Year's Day tragedy, as horrible as that was, and we continue to send our prayers and condolences to all of the victims. And I know that we're still in an official period of mourning for each of the 14 victims. You know, I think even in that tragedy, you saw the amazing, brave NOPD officers that ran towards the danger and saved countless lives. You saw the community come together with the massive amounts of donations that have gone to the United Way and the Greater New Orleans Foundation and others that have set up funds to help the victims' families. You saw our restaurant community come together, and the Bourbon Street restaurants did a week-long promotion where a signature dish, 100% of the proceeds would go to the victims' families. So, you know, I think when we do face hard times or tragedies, our community is really good at coming together and taking care of each other and taking care of whoever's most impacted by that particular situation. And then, you know, we learn from those things, and we look each time there's something that comes up, we look at, okay, what worked well and what can we do to get better?
Absolutely. Kelly, thank you so much for joining us. Kelly Schultz, Senior VP Communications and PR at New Orleans & Company. Best of luck with NADA and all of the events that follow as we experience the melt here. You can't say that often in New
Orleans.
Well,
thank you, Newell. You're such a wonderful ambassador for our hospitality community, and we appreciate it. So thank you.
It is my pleasure. Thank you so much. We will be right back, folks. The Archdiocese just announces all Catholic schools in the area will be closed tomorrow. So another day of building snowmen, plural. Got to go back to school. We'll be right back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Louisiana Department of Health and Jefferson Parish officials announced that in portions of Grand Isle, there is a boil water advisory. They have experiencing a number of pipe breaks. A lot of the homes down there are second homes, and a lot of folks weren't able to travel down there in order to make accommodations for those second homes. And we have a lot of that same situation to some respect, probably not to the extent in Grand Isle, but we're joined by Louis Pomez, the St. Bernard Parish president. Some of the same issues, I guess, could crop up in St. Bernard. Louis, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Lou.
So what is the state of the state for you guys in St. Bernard? I mean, you and I typically talk about hurricanes. This is a first. We're talking about snow and now the melt.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, this is definitely the first for me for a snowstorm this big at St. Bernard Parish. And we've been through hurricanes, we've been through floods, we've been through tornadoes. Something totally different to deal with the type of equipment that we actually don't have on hand. But we're making do with the heavy equipment and that we do have on hand. And we're doing really well today with getting our roads opened up. It's still very dangerous to drive on them. And hopefully that we can keep the people off these roadways and until after tomorrow. But one of our biggest situations right now that we're facing is the reserve that we have in water. We're asking people in St. Bernard to please, please turn off the faucets if you can. Don't wash any clothes. Don't turn the dishwashers on. We're trying to preserve this water for another day.
Yeah, I guess if you're home, you don't really need to have that stream just maybe every 15 or minutes or so, turn the faucet on for a little while just to get some water flowing and just keep doing that while you're home. If you can do that, that would help preserve, the water for you guys so you don't end up in a boil water advisory, right?
Exactly. That's what we're concerned about. We're capable of making about 9 million gallons a day. but when we do have a 10 million gallon reserve tank, and we're a little more than halfway through our 10 million gallons of reserve water. And so our biggest concerns is that if they would slow down a little bit, that we're not going to have to do this boil water advisory. Hopefully that we don't have to turn the water pressure down that low.
Any pipe breaks in your infrastructure? Or are y'all getting calls about residential home pipe breaks that are creating an issue for you?
So far, with our infrastructure, we're doing very well. We're okay with that. We do have quite a few homeowners that are calling with pipe breaks and just asking us to come in and shut the waters down for them.
Yeah. And that's something that needs to be done right away for certain. Louis, I wanted to go back to roadways real quick because, you know, St. Bernard's got a unique challenge. There's only a couple of ways in and out of St. Bernard, right?
That's correct.
So the highway from, 510 into St. Bernard, what's the status of that?
Well, that everybody knows that it's the Green Bridge, which is the LA 47 Paris Road Bridge. They know it as the Green Bridge. It is closed down. They closed it yesterday. It is still closed. We have all of the bridge traffic. They're trying to not allow anything over the St. Claude Bridge. If we do have to use a bridge, if it's an emergency, we can't come across the St. Claude Bridge. But other than that, all of the bridges coming into St. Bernard Parish is closed off.
So y'all are truly isolated then?
Well, we can't cross, like I said, we can't cross the St. Claude Bridge if we have to for emergency vehicles.
Yeah, for emergency vehicles. But all others, you're truly isolated.
That's correct. Yep.
That's a very weird happenstance, though, right?
Yes. Yep. First time in my career, and I've been here more than four decades.
Yeah. Interesting. I was kind of curious about that. What do you see as kind of the you know, as we now experience the melt? I mean, you guys got what kind of snowfall did y'all get? Accumulation numbers?
Oh, in different areas of the parish, I can say that I don't think we had anything less than 8 inches anywhere in St. Bernard Parish.
Wow.
So I don't say anything less than 8 inches anywhere in the parish.
That's crazy, right? I mean,
yeah. Oh.
I mean, especially when you think of how much the parish is actually adjacent to water bodies that kind of create more of some warmth there because of the water temperature that you'd have that amount of snow.
Yeah, they tell me even down in Delacroix, the Wycloski area, the Shell Beach area. I mean, that's all water down that way. And I'd have to say they had to have closer to 8 inches of snow down that way too.
Wow, absolutely.
And then, yeah.
Any other challenges that you'd like to talk about? Any other advice that you want to give to your citizens of St. Bernard?
Well, the challenge that we're having right now, as I said a while ago, is the water situation. You know, we're hoping people can slow down on the use of the water, not wash clothes, not turn the dishwashers on. And stay off the roadways because it's going to freeze again tonight. We have a lot of our roads that are open in one lane that we clean all through Judge Perez, eastbound and westbound. We also have St. Bernard Highway, a good one lane of it clean for the emergency vehicles to get through. But we're asking the residents to stay home. We had one came out early this morning, slid off, hit a guide cable, and we had to put about 800 residents out of power for a very, very short period of time to Energy had made that repair. But we're just asking the people to please stay off the highway for at least another day.
You know, yesterday, Tommy Tucker and I had communications with folks from Entergy, and over half of their power outages were caused by someone driving on the roadway and hitting a pole. And, you know, people don't realize the breadth and depth of that one pole and what ultimately happens when they have to de-energize an entire neighborhood in order to remedy it.
Yes. And we were so thankful with Energy. I mean, they came out and they did this repair, and it took them about 15 minutes before they had the power back on. From the time they got there, within 15 minutes, they had the power back on. That was great.
They have been incredibly responsive to any number of challenges that are out there. And again, and I was saying, and you know, same with St. Bernard, I think most people really believe that everybody was on their game for this event, right?
Yeah, well, definitely. St. Bernard Parish, for sure. You know, with the DOTD, I mean, we've been in close contact with them. Our local sheriff department has done an amazing job out here day and night. You know, we've been in contact with them around the clock. Our firefighters, they've been out around the clock. We actually had extra staff on our fire department. We had some of our firefighters that wasn't able to do a shift change because there was no way for them to cross a bridge to get out of the parish. Some of them that doesn't live here. So they actually stayed in. So we had extra manpower for the fire department.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Louis, final thoughts?
No, that's it, man. And thank y'all so much. We really appreciate this.
And Louis, please know that anytime you need to get information out, give us a shout. We'll get you on the air. We're nimble, especially as it relates to water. That's a big issue, you know, for everyone.
Yep. But thank you so much, man. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. That's Louis Comas, St. Bernard Parish President. We going to a break now, Coleman? Are we going to? All right, we're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we'll visit with Jacques Thibodeau, Director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, otherwise known as GOSEP. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back for our continuing coverage of the historic winter storm. We are joined by Jacques Thibodeau, Director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, otherwise known as GOSEP. Jacques, welcome to the show.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you, Neil?
Thank you, sir, for joining us today. We know you're very busy. I know that the snowfall stopped through most parts of the state at some point in time yesterday, late afternoon, early evening. And I got to imagine that the assessment has started this morning. And other than the obvious that everything on the ground is white, are there any other revelations?
Well, you know, one of the things that we first want to highlight, I think you were touching it in an earlier segment, is up until yesterday and all the way through yesterday, we had only had 50 accidents statewide, which is just phenomenal, that people heeded our warning. So since this morning, since we came on the show, in New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and Lafayette, we've had over 50 accidents.
Wow.
So, again, we're asking people, please stay off the road for 24 hours. I understand it's difficult, and it's exactly what you said. When we have an accident and a power line is damaged, it is impacting more people than you can imagine. So please just stay off the roads.
Yeah, and it's not just, you know, power. It affects other systems that rely on power, right? Sewage, water, all kinds of different things that could be the downstream implication.
Absolutely. The first aspect that we're having when you get the cold is the water systems. Now, the water systems, you know, when you start having them degraded already, they've got generator systems. But if the power goes out to a water system and now you're taking an element of risk that doesn't need to be there, the generator's going to come on, but maybe the system will be overloaded. Maybe it will be compounded by a simple power outage because someone ran off the road and took a power line out. So it's very complex, and just a decision to get on the road could have catastrophic consequences for people that you don't even know in your community.
So, Jacques, for the benefit of a listening audience, still there's a lot of road closures, right? Interstates not open, right?
That's right. So if you kind of look at, and once again, we talk about virtual .la.gov. But if you look at the road closures, and if you go to the on that element, the 511 for DOTD, the interstates are closed in a bright blue highlighting. Well, when you look at the New Orleans area, the Twin Spans are closed, the interstate is closed, the Crescent City Connection is closed, the Huey P. Long is closed, the Luling Bridge is closed, Highway 90 coming in is closed. And the interstate is closed, and then I-55 is closed. So it is an element of road closures. Anything that has an elevated portion surrounding the NOLA metro area is closed, and it's pretty significant. So please just, again, stay at home.
A recently snow-plowed road, I said earlier that does not lead to a 100% guarantee that there's still not ice on that roadway, right?
Right. And one of the things that we're learning, and particularly we had an opportunity for Jay Grimes, our climatologist, to talk to DOTD. This is different, okay? Normally, a sleet and ice will create a road that is a black ice, very thin, very flat. This snow ice that is freezing is like moguls if you had to put it in ice. So it is very unstable to drive upon. Even as we're scraping the road, there is residue that is still there. So it is very difficult. The Arkansas team that we have, the 45 trucks we have for them, are doing great work. DOTD is doing great work. What we're seeing now is even the parishes are starting to get local contractors out there to clear parish and municipal roads, but it does not scrape all the ice off at one time. It requires multiple passes to get the ice off the roads. It's very difficult.
We're visiting with Jacques Thibodeau, director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. Jacques, I said earlier, that's one step of a process, right? So when the temperatures do rise above freezing, those particular areas that have been snowplowed tend to melt faster than others. And in the hopes of, at some point down the road, being able to create a passable lane on that roadway. And again, it doesn't mean that, like when the temperature gets down into the 20s this evening, that if you go on that roadway this evening, that you're not going to find ice there, because you will, and you can't drive 35 miles an hour.
That's true. Absolutely right. So what we're concerned with tonight is the hardest part is to come. We're concerned about the fact of what we're going to look at here is people are seeing sunlight out there and say it's okay to get out. And then once it starts hitting 5 o'clock tonight, then it's going to really get bad. Tonight and tomorrow, we're looking still at single-digit temperatures. For the first time in 40 years of emergency management, New Iberia temperature this morning was 2 degrees. I have never seen that in all my time. And so we're looking at tonight, you're looking at single digits for the areas along the coast because the precipitation is so high. From the Gulf, New Orleans itself is probably going to be low teens to mid-teens. So this is going to be a major event, and the worst for us is to come tonight.
So I guess the advice is don't let your guard down, right? You know,
absolutely, and that's one of the things where – I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, John.
No, you have to nail on the head. Don't let your guard down. A hurricane, just because a hurricane comes through, it doesn't mean it's over with the day after. We fight through this thing all the time. What I try to tell people is you can never win against Mother Nature. The best you can do is fight to a draw. And right now, we're fighting Mother Nature tooth and nail just to fight to a draw. It's difficult to keep up with what we're going to face tonight and into tomorrow morning.
We have had many, I've said this many times, both Tommy Tucker and I last night and again this morning and through the day, that collectively the leadership in the state has really hit the mark. But we're entering a phase now, and you know this better than most, that really requires even more compliance by our citizenry than before. And if we're going to recover and recover in a safe way, it is that compliance and heeding the advice of officials that is going to lead us to a quicker, safer, faster recovery.
Absolutely. I can tell you one of the things that just has got me, you know, I think about all day long today is that we have been, everyone has had power in their houses. So what we're starting to see now is with these space heaters, we're starting to see house fires that are starting to pop up because people are plugging a space heater into a surge protector or they're putting it close to curtains. And that is seriously concerning to us. So we are asking everyone, please heed your local officials' warnings. As you listen to the WWL, the coverage that you guys have been doing is excellent. And the advice that y'all been giving is excellent. So, again, we've got to just stay on our guard and not get anyone hurt tonight or into tomorrow morning.
What is your biggest concern at this at the present time? I know the governor and you guys have been communicating stuff real time in an excellent way. Anything for the next several hours? I mean, I know we're getting above freezing probably right about now. I hadn't checked it in about an hour down here. And we're going to begin to see, I guess, a more accelerated melt. What challenges does that present?
It's quite a bit. It does. This is all part of the learning process for us. Thank goodness we have the Arkansas subject matter experts that are with DOTD every day. Right now, everything is our elevated roads. That's our biggest concern right now. When you look at anything that's elevated over a body of water is freezing and refreezing quickly. So you think about even an elevated bridge that may only be 5 or 6 feet on Airline Highway that goes over a drainage canal. That's going to ice over. So, as you drive through all of the East Bank and West Banks, you have to think about that. When you'll notice the difference in a road will be black and then a bridge will be a light colored gray. In all likelihood, that's going to be ice that you just will not see at night. So anything that's over an elevated water span, that's a road here, be very cautious when approaching that bridge.
Yeah. Absolutely. Any other challenges? I know where do we stand with power outages throughout the state?
Well, that's been one of the biggest victories that we've seen is because of all of the preemptive work that all of the utility companies and the co-ops have done. The most power outages we had statewide was 11,000 people. That's out of about 3 million structures that are being tracked. So 11,000. So what we see is we track it all day long. We're right now about 4,500 without power because the utility companies are so good at it, turning it back on. So that's been one of the huge success stories of how the parish governments and the state agencies have worked with the utility companies to keep that power on. Power is lifeline. To be in your house with power is a lifeline for you, and it reduces the amount of risk. So I'm really proud of that element of the electricity that has been managed across the state.
Jacques, part of the incentive for people staying home is having their internet service, the cable providers. Are y'all hearing anything relative to cable providers?
No, all of those structures are good, and just to kind of let everybody know, we had some additional elements that you should have seen in the alert warnings that we tested. You should have seen some LA wallet alerts come out. We also had a new system here at GOCEP to where anyone that is over the age of 18 in the state of Louisiana that is driving, through our alert system, we were able to send out an alert. In the span of 30 seconds, we impacted an alert for 2.3 million people.
Wow.
So all of those aspects and the fact that the internet seems to be working fine, the cable system seems to be working fine, and the satellite systems now are absolutely clear. So you're seeing those alerts that you're seeing are actually coming from GOCEP that are going out statewide.
Awesome. And I've seen them, several times already. Jacques Thibodeau, Director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. Thank you so much for joining us. Truly appreciate your time and your insights. Stay safe, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
We will be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.